Good morning, everybody, and welcome to episode 30 of Take a Break with me, Andrew Reed, and special guest star from the other side of the world. Hey, Adam.
It's me.
It's you.
I'm upside down.
Where? Oh, yes, of course you are.
I'm upside down and I'm in New Zealand.
New Zealand. How are you doing, my friend? How's life?
Life is good, man. Life is good. Been out here. What are we? 3 weeks in?
Yeah.
Come back next week.
Yeah.
And it's just been fantastic. It's been incredible. It's been an adventure. It's been unbelievable.
And I see
you've been busy.
I've been very busy with our lovely guests.
Yeah.
Well, I think I'd like to say on behalf of all of us, we've missed you.
Hey, behave.
Oh,
behave.
Sorry.
Behave. I can see you. I know I'm on Zoom. I might be upside down, but I can see you.
Absolutely.
Even with my glasses off.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Now, man, how's things with you? How is the UK?
The UK is flooded at this moment in time. I think we've had non-stop rain since you've left. With the occasional break, it has been pretty horrendous rain. Keeping ourselves very, very busy. I've even noticed from the other side of the world, I've been watching and listening to my social media, and I'm like, oh, I've just had a like from Adam Walker from the other side of the world.
There you go. At like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, exactly, so, exactly. But great in terms of having you so far away. I don't mean that nastily great, but obviously in terms of technology, just bringing you so close to us.
I know. Well, you know, we wanted to do this, didn't we? To try something a bit different and do it, and here we are. But yeah, no, New Zealand has been fantastic. We've been all over the place, and it's actually been good because it's given me a lot of time to think.
Right.
And I'm learning in my sort of spare moments. I've been reading up on Linux, mate.
Oh, Linux is the future, mate.
Yeah, still don't know a lot. I still need an Andy.
But Linux distros to set up certain dedicated servers or dedicated pieces of server technology. Very, very, very clever. You obviously listen to the podcast with Des Wright. He uses Linux a lot.
Brilliant. Yeah, he's great. That was fantastic. I love that.
Yeah, exactly.
Really interesting. But yeah, so I have been just doing a little bit. Because, I like to push my skills.
No, absolutely.
I like to push my skills and see what I can do. And it's just given me a bit of chance to kind of think.
Right, okay. Then think in terms of how you can now use tech differently within HubSpoke or use tech throughout your whole life.
All sorts, really. Home servers, all sorts. Kind of building on the stuff we've been talking about. But here's a good one. So we got a transfer flight today in New Zealand, and they've got a new X-ray machine, and they're like, if you've got camera film, take it out of your bag.
Oh.
I had to pull out six rolls of film I've shot so far.
That's fabulous.
So, I haven't even touched my digital camera.
It's all been using old style tech.
I've been using my phone. And using that. I've been very analog. Yeah, it's been good to switch off. I think it's good to change lanes. So I have to pull off
analog Adam in a digital world.
Yeah, exactly. And the joke will be on me when I try and get it all developed and the photos haven't come out. You know, it'll be hilarious that none of it will have done it. But yeah. So I've been thinking a lot while I've been away. Hopefully, am I cutting up right now? Just to check.
Occasionally, but not too bad at all. You know, there's nowhere near as bad as a stutter, so it's actually going quite well.
We'll plough on. The guy at security was joking about pulling the films out to inspect them, which would obviously overexpose and ruin the films. But yeah, I was like, if you did that, I'd cry. God knows. I think I'm going to actually get them developed here in Auckland before I fly back. And then I can actually see if I've got any results. But it's been quite nice to dabble with some old tech. And just get some cool pictures while we're here doing different things and all sorts.
Well, that's great in terms of that. So even having the digital background that you've got, you've decided to drop back and use the old style camera. Was that a particular reason? Do you get more out of that camera than a digital, or was it just purely for experiment?
A bit of experiment, bit of like how I want to, I suppose, be a bit creative. I think it's important for us to be creative in terms of ideas, what we're doing. I'm trying to do it to document our trip, you know. Think more broadly in terms of, you know, how can I capture a few images to just remember the trip by. But yeah, the reason why I went for film, and actually I've got my granddad's camera with me.
It's not one of those where you have to put it on a tripod and,
No, this one's like, I think it's a DSLR sort of thing from the, I want to say 60s.
Wow.
It's amazing how they used to make them. So the whole thing is like mechanical. There is a light meter in it that takes like a little watch battery. I do need to replace that battery. So I've been shooting that a bit blind, but I've been sort of taking a punt. So hopefully those ones come out. But yeah, the whole thing's mechanical. There's a timer on it, which is just like a egg timer thing. And it takes, I've been loving it. Like just having a bit of time to sort of get away from the tech, I suppose, in some regard, but also kind of think about, you know, I'm hoping that it'll help me develop my digital skills.
In terms of your digital skills. I see what you did there.
He may have been away, but he's still got it.
Oh, I can't wait for you to get the photographs back, and then the old days of flipping through the cameras, have the big thumbprint on one of them, the big sign saying overexposure.
That's basically what I'm going to probably look like. But, you know, we'll give it a whirl. But I'll tell you what I have been doing. So I have been obviously having to dial in. I run my business.
Yeah,
and I've been having to dial in to make sure I pay the wonderful team in the office there. Hello, everybody. I don't know whether I can hear them or not. If it's got
noise cancelling. He's saying hello, and apparently he pays you?
I did.
Yes, both Alina and Jessica.
No, I did. I did. But it's meant that while we're on the move, I've had to interestingly connect to some very, very interesting internet connections.
I hope you did it securely, no open VPNs, etc.
But VPN, right. That is what I did. So for this specifically, I got a VPN. Tell me what a VPN is, please.
Virtual private network. You can connect to a open, unsecured network, but then when you connect your VPN, it's protected, it's encapsulated, which is what it's called, and you can securely connect. Still probably not the best thing in the world, but by hell, 99.9% better than just connecting over an open network and then dialing into the bank to pay these lovely ladies.
Yeah, so we're a lodge place, like a hostely thing, and it was like, here's our Wi-Fi, had a gateway terms and conditions thing, but then it was like on the Wi-Fi it's like open network, no security. I was like, oh no, what am I gonna do here? Right, so I luckily I had the VPN and I connected into it. But what was interesting is, because I was curious, because I obviously from the podcast and what you've been teaching me and what we've been doing, I was on the MacBook, clicked on network.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, machines start appearing on the network. People who haven't sorted out their settings.
No.
So there was like Caroline's laptop. And I was like, oh, this is just like stuff and nightmares. There was like laptop H27629341. You know, like where the settings are just. So yeah, if you're traveling, right, I would strongly recommend a VPN. Also, I'd strongly recommend looking into your network and sharing settings to make sure that you are not sharing any files, firewalls, all of that sort of stuff. Because, geez, some of the stuff I'm seeing, you know, I've even got my wife using the VPN. You know, she was like, I need to be on the VPN to do our banking. I was like, you absolutely do.
No,
100%.
No, that's really good stuff to hear from you, Adam, because, again, you know, we never, ever want to scaremonger anybody on our programme. But, you know, these things are there, and this is how the evil, malicious hacker sits in a corner of the, or even in your hostel where you were staying, just gets out this very easy software that's very easily and readily available, and then go, laptop 745631, let's see what I can find. Oh, my God, he's left himself open, and you're in. It is so easy and so dangerous. And a VPN is a very simple, cost-effective way of protecting you.
Yep, so that's been good. The other thing I had is I accidentally left AirDrop on iPhone changed a while ago, so it's only like open for a limited amount of time. On my laptop, it was just open. So I'd like powered the laptop on. I actually watched a movie. It was like, let's watch a film. And then all of a sudden, it was like, Colin wants to share some photos with you. Pops up on my laptop, and it's somebody in this hostel. I was like, oh, no.
No, like, that's the last thing that you want to do. Decline, deny, look away, kids.
I was like, I don't even want to know what they're trying to do. But this doesn't just apply to traveling, like in terms of long distance. Like I've said for a while, I don't use networks on trains, for example. I just don't want to. No. My choice. And I use mobile hotspot.
Yep.
My connection, and that's okay, because I know what I've got on my device, this, that, and the other.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I do that. But then, you know, if you can't do that, which being in another country, I can't just do that. I have got actually a New Zealand eSIM.
Ooh, get you.
I'll come on to that, actually, because that's been a funny experience. So I got the VPN and I'm doing that. But, like, you know, when I come home, obviously I'll be using it if we're in a cafe or it's public, you know, public networks and things like this, where it's just an extra layer of security. So I hope that you're proud of me for that.
Honestly, I can feel it right here, man. All the things that I've eventually tried to get into your head, you've taken on board and you've taken security seriously, as everybody does, to be fair. But no, I'm really proud of you, man. And even Corrie, super, super proud of Corrie getting into VPNs. Get her.
You're doing it. So, that's been fantastic. The other thing I managed to do is we've got a guest staying at our home.
You're right. My
mother-in-law, and I turned all the internet and all the plugs off and everything.
Yeah.
And then I asked my good old folks to go and turn it all on. Mum's like, I think we've started it. What I did was I dialed in into my network from the South Island of New Zealand, and I went, it's all up and running.
Yeah, good old ubiquity. I tell you what.
Yeah, exactly, ubiquity. It wasn't me doing anything clever. It's an app. Right?
So
you need to be really clever. These are apps that do it for you.
Yeah. But the good news is that we can get those apps out there, and that's the key. You know, hopefully in terms of this podcast, we're out there trying to prove to people that, you know, you don't have to be an Andy or an Adam, but if you're clever enough to know the correct equipment and hardware, it can do all the hard work for you.
100%. 100%. Yeah. So my eSIM story, right? So I got a New Zealand eSIM. Because I was like, then we can have data. I can have data. I can message and then make a phone call. So if we had a problem traveling or whatever, so I got an eSIM, signed it up, plugged it into like my phone, and scanned a QR code and did all this. And then you have like two numbers, sort of thing. You could choose what you're texting off or what you do. And then I've had on my New Zealand number, I'm actually getting more text messages than I do on my English number. Which is a bit weird. Yeah, I'm going to hide the name in case that is personal data, but it's hi, insert name.
Yeah.
This one, I'll just read it now. I haven't read it. Hi, please call the Ministry of Justice as soon as possible. So I don't know what this chap's been doing, but he needs to phone the Ministry of Justice. I've been getting, what's this? Can you come into the clinic on Friday?
Wow. What have you been up to?
Yeah. Pass. Hey, I'm in the room. You coming? Bit random. So I've been like blocking these numbers, and I just keep getting like the next most random message. So I don't know whether it was like an old phone number somebody used to use,
yeah,
and it's been recycled. But yeah, so I don't know how I feel about this experience, because it's just absolute nonsense.
I was going to say, that's an experience. Good job you didn't get anything else coming through.
Yeah, exactly. No, so well, yeah, between getting text messages from suspect ministry, I don't think that is a genuine thing, by the way. Suspect messages like that, the physio clinic, that was physio, by the way.
Yeah.
But the second message just said clinic, but luckily I'd seen the
physio I'm like, one, this is not
the person you're looking for.
These are not the droids you're looking for.
So between that, the random airdropping, and Caroline's on the network. There's been some observations.
I was going to say, so in terms of the journey, obviously leaving Darlington a couple of weeks ago from then landing in New Zealand, I suppose from your point of view, I want to get across to our viewers, you know, you're a privileged person in terms of knowing the tech, you know, during these discussions with podcasts. Do you then take that, you know, whatever you're doing, like your journey, and do you actually sometimes just sit there and go, oh, wow, that tech is being used to do that. That tech's done you that. Are you more aware of the tech around you?
Yeah, 100%. I think it's really important to embrace it. I think more just in the cybersecurity world type thing. And it sounds really beefy, cybersecurity, but there's some really simple things that you can do. And like I say, it doesn't have to be traveling to another country. It could just be using Wi-Fi in a cafe, for example.
You'd use the same security techniques if you were traveling to New Zealand or if you were traveling down to your client in London. The same principle applies, doesn't it?
100%. Yeah, so there's been that.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Oh, you're still doing this?
Sorry.
It's still making me wait on the other side of the world.
I know.
But yeah, so no, it's do you know what? It's been really good. Obviously, I've had my laptop with me and doing work on the key bits that I need to do. And by the way, I must shout out the team. They have been fantastic.
Yeah, shout out to the team. He says you've been really great. Yeah, they're all going now. They've been living it up, Adam. Yeah, we've had party after party.
They're like, don't go away again.
Don't go away again.
Yeah. No, so it's been, you know, it's been great. But yeah, sort of going around, sort of just thinking on a lot of the stuff we've talked about, you know, about the service of the technology, because we've had to take huge leaps in our own business in terms of how we can turn the podcasts around and how we can develop those things. It's been good to reflect on that, and it's been good to go, right, okay, well, if I am in a random hostel that has Caroline's laptop on the network, I don't want to be sharing any information. They certainly shouldn't be sharing any information with me.
No.
You know, like, what are the things that I put in place? So it's been really good to kind of look at it from that standpoint. The other thing is this device now, the mobile phone, is just something else. We've been using Revolut cards
to
do our transactions.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're virtual cards. I've been using online disposable cards. Virtual disposable cards.
Yeah.
So generate a virtual card and you can use it for a transaction.
Yeah.
And then that card, in inverted commas, is done.
Yeah.
As in, if someone then stole your card details, it doesn't matter. It's a one-time thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's been a really good takeaway we've had on the trip. You know, I've been using it. Why might we use it? Well, generally the transaction fees, the exchange rates are often better. Obviously, it depends on your we've used that. And then, like I say, with online payments and stuff, anything that we've had to book, we've used that virtual card rather than using our UK cards.
Yeah, much safer.
Boarding passes.
Yeah, everything's now electronic in terms of that. Even something when myself and Michelle take train trips down to London, you know, I remember when Michelle first did it and booked it, she went, wow, you don't get a ticket anymore. You literally get the email with the QR code, and then you wander up to the gate, show your phone, QR code, done. Tickets and then disposed of.
here's what I did wrong today.
Oh,
we
right.
We were at the airport, checking in at the airport. We checked in online. We had to go to the bag drop to put our cases on. Domestic flight, internal job. So we checked in online, put the bags, we went to the bag drop. I started putting the cases on, and I'm like scanning the boarding card on my phone, ticket thing. It's then trying to scan the bag for a ticket that I didn't know I had to have on the bag. So I couldn't get it to work. And then the lady's like, oh no, you need to go and get your bag tags from over there. I had to go to another machine, scan my cards. They then give you the bag tags that obviously go through the handling thing. Then we stuck it on, two on the side handles, one on the top handle. The side handles were fine. There's a lesson.
Yeah.
Because the top handles, the machine couldn't read it. So, but it didn't say stick them on the. So I just made an absolute pig's ear of technology. trying to put my bags on an aeroplane, basically. So that's where technology is good. But it was like a self-service, put your bags on the plane type situation.
Excellent.
And,
have you seen any technology during your travels that is either different to the UK, unique to the UK? Because obviously we're all in different pockets of the world.
Yep.
Everybody has certain technology, but some people are better at it than others and, you know, less behind. So give us an idea of some technology you've seen.
I think an everyday example is they actually take less cash over here.
Right.
So we do have some New Zealand dollars that have been like, right, let's go and put, you know, it could be like the kids spending money, or it could be something like that, where we've got New Zealand dollars, and you want to do it. And they're like, no, we only do PayWave, which is contactless.
Yeah.
Call it. Or FPOS. Like, they only take card.
Yeah.
So definitely there's been more places that only take card than in the UK. Like, no cash, only card. So that's been the big one. I think in terms of sort of other technology, they've embraced the self-service supermarkets, all the same sort of stuff. So in many ways, there's so many similarities to what we do. But I'd say the biggest one's network security for me, public network. obviously I've only sampled a cross-section.
Yeah.
It hasn't been very good in terms of that. So that's the big difference. But now we're in Auckland now for a few days, so we're going to be going around the city a bit more. We had a few days here at the start when we're getting over our jet lag, and then we went off traveling. In terms of, like, I suppose it's a lot more paperless over here.
Right. Okay, because obviously I know that the UK is pushing for contactless, and there's a lot of backlash, and I can see both sides of it. From my point of view, it's easier. I've got NFC both on my phone and on my watch. So somebody asks me to pay for something, I just literally tap my watch. Whereas, bless my 79-year-old dad, he's like, I haven't got a clue. I just want cash everywhere. But more and more places are going, no, I'm sorry, contactless only.
Actually, I have got a good one. And I haven't worked out, I think it's NFC. So there's a thing called the Luge. Right. If anyone's going to New Zealand, you need to check out the Luge. Right. The way I describe it is like go karts going down a hill with a set of handlebars, not a steering wheel.
Right.
And you pull back. When the handlebars down, it's on its like flat bed.
Yeah.
When you pull the handlebar back slightly, it comes up onto a wheel.
Right.
And then when you pull back, it breaks. Okay. So what they had there was all the helmets had an NFC chip on the side.
Right.
That you could scan at the end of your oozing, your racing. By the way, it was carnage.
Yeah.
My 9-year-old nearly killed me, by the way. So saying he was doing what the Formula One drivers do. But what's cool is as you're doing it, they're taking your photographs. And what I don't understand is how they were able to associate your photographs with the chip on your helmet.
Right.
Because you then get a chairlift back up and it carries the carts on the bottom. So there's then like a smile, you're on camera and you're like, wee, kind of thing. And I'm like, where was my chip? Like, because you got to be fairly close for these things, yeah? Like when we were scanning itself, I'm like, I've literally got to be really close to the sensor to do it. And yet they had all the photographs of like my helmet.
Yeah.
And I have no idea how they actually captured that data to say, ah, this photo is him at this point. You know, like, no idea. No idea. I look at this stuff and I'm like, how? Where? Where are they scanning me to associate the two? So that one, I am actually clueless.
No, but that's what I was saying, Adam, being in the situation where we talk about tech and we're trying to, you know, develop our understanding more and more and helping hopefully our listeners. I'm finding that, you know, not only when I go to somewhere to experience something, I'm like you, I'm going, I wonder how they're doing that. What's the background? How is it linking to that? How fast must the network be?
I literally have no idea. So they're taking, and these cameras are in like a weatherproof container. Sometimes they've got a flash next to them as well. And they've got a DSLR, proper digital camera. Whoa, it did a weird Zoom thing there.
It did. It's doing it left, right, and centre.
It's, so they've got like a DSLR camera taking the image, and it's immediately uploading to their server. And it's doing all the... I thought that was brilliant.
No, fantastic.
Like, if only it was that simple normally. Wear this helmet, please. So I still don't know how they were picking that up. Because you'd think if I've got to, like, rub the helmet on the sensor thing to get my photos up, surely I've got to be, like, crashing into something as I'm doing.
Absolutely, but also from what you're telling me, the speed that these things are traveling, again, to take high quality photographs, know where you are to keep doing it, it's sounds incredible.
Yeah, the timing, yeah, all that. We saw some friends from the UK, we did the luge.
Yeah.
And he decided to run his GPS top speed 21 miles an hour, which when you're low to the ground and on a little go-kart,
oh, absolutely.
It's quite fast with corners and all that sort of stuff going on.
Yeah.
So, like that was good, but yeah, I still can't fathom how that was done. I was like,
it's zooming in and out, in and out.
But yeah, what projects have you been working on then?
It's been very much run of the mill for Resilient. The rest of the team are doing very well. We just seem to be stabilizing in terms of getting our projects on. So we've just done another interesting migration to 365, which is quite good. I suppose there's the one great story that I had is that, bless, we've got a new customer. Vanessa put us in touch with a very nice gentleman, John, at Scandinavian Windows, who works over in Innovation Place, you know, the new building. So he was chatting to Vanessa to say, and he would be, oh, I've got a few issues with my emails, a few issues with this. Basically, Vanessa very kindly said, well, speak to Resilient. They'll be able to help you. John called in and missed me. I then called John and, blessing me, was on a project for a week. So I literally kept missing him and we kept missing each other. Finally, I think it was last Wednesday, he got in contact and said, look, really sorry, you know, I'm only down the road, can I pop in and see you? And I was like, yeah, not a problem at all. Pop in tomorrow, which would have been the Thursday after the Simon Crisp podcast and before the bank, the Good Friday. Get this, he came in to see me at 4 o'clock. We had half an hour chat. Whilst he had the chat, he was asking us all the right relevant questions. So Michelle thought, oh, do you know what? I'll prepare a quick quotation just in case. He shook my hand at 4:30 and he said, yeah, do what? Send me a quote. Michelle said, ah, that's interesting. I've already got it done for you. He was like, oh, right, that's good. Here's my email address. Send it over. We started packing up at 10 to 5 on the Thursday. At 5 to 5, John replied back and went, yeah, let's go ahead. That was the quickest sale, less than an hour.
And you'll be able to get him sorted really quickly, and he'll be in a much better place for you.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, good.
No, I'll have a beer. Come on.
I have not got beer here. It is
No, it's coffee in a beer-shaped glass.
It is coffee. But I am a bit thirsty. Hang on a minute.
Ah.
What?
Yeah, exactly. Nothing, mate. Nothing. I'll just do exactly what you need.
Wait a minute. Yeah, we can't see what's in that.
No, we can't. It is pure coffee. So no, that was very good. So bless him, he's got all of the. Oddly enough, my friend, he won't mind me saying this, he's a two-man band at this moment in time, looking to grow. But even with only two people, and you can relate to this, it's like, yeah, the problem is, Andy, I'm doing a document, I'm sending it to my colleague down south, she's then getting the document and amending it, sending it back to me, I'm then going, which version is the right version? And I'm just like, I'm nodding away going... I really know what that feels like. And it's like, and then when I'm having my emails on my tablet, my Mac, my iPhone, when I'm clicking whatever, it's not syncing properly. And I'm just going, yep, you need Microsoft 365 and Teams.
And I appreciate we do get a bit geeky outy with this sort of thing. But logging on in New Zealand into my team stuff, as in Wellington, I was literally working, and I was like, I'm having the exact same experience as if I sat on my desk.
I know. It's incredible how as I was saying at the start of the podcast, that even though you are like thousands and thousands of miles away, the fact that when you log into Teams ecosystem, and again, there's the Google Workspace and, you know, everything like that. I don't know. Did you actually manage to listen to the Simon Crisp podcast yet?
I haven't had a chance for that one.
That's fantastic. Please do. He's incredibly interesting. He was saying that he's had regular meetings with here in Darlington and with his team over in with his customer over in the Middle East. And he went, it's like we're practically sat around the same table. And he said, they use collaboration in the same way. It's incredible, he said. I'm like, I know. It's just phenomenal how you can do it.
That is on my traveling list, actually. I've got podcasts. Yeah, I've got some downloaded, and obviously we've been busy seeing people and doing bits and bobs. So I was like, do you know what? That's my traveling one.
So no, honestly, it's going to be really good. No, it's great. Yeah. So yeah, other than that, I think we're just doing the normal run-of-the-mill stuff. We've just recently got another customer migrated successfully over to 365, and they're just loving it. They were using an equivalent of a OneDrive, a Google Drive. And again, never an issue in terms of what it allowed them to do. The problem is they had gigabytes of data, and like a OneDrive, like a Google Drive, it just synced everything to each PC. But the same old problem, Adam. It's like, well, I've updated it and, you know, done it on my machine, but the other person can't see it. You go and investigate, and it's like, the app that's, you know, physically running on the machine that does the syncing up and down, that's crashed. So suddenly you're like, you know, right, I'll fix that. Yeah. You redo gigabytes of data suddenly go up and everybody goes, now I can see it. Whereas now I had the meeting with them all yesterday and I was saying, get away from the concept of everything just syncing. You are working in Teams online 100%. No, it's not making sense to me. And I'm like, okay, demonstrated. You open up the spreadsheet. And she was like, this lady was like, yeah, not a problem. I said, right, you start working on it. And I turned around to the rest of the team and I went, watch. And I opened up the spreadsheet. And as I was talking to these other people, all we heard from the other side of the room is, I can see you. You're working on the same spreadsheet as I am. And again, it's wonderful. It's built into that. But to actually, again, have that satisfaction of showing these people going, no, this is what it can do. You know, the look on their faces and everything.
This trip has been the perfect stress test for using it. And I can safely say, worth its weight in gold. It's been great. I've been able to log in. My emails, spot on. You know, when I've had to clear those, when I've had to log in and get stuff, do stuff, access files, all there. It's great. You know, I think the next level was all about that security stuff. One thing I have seen, actually, while we're on this, and I want to take it to social media slightly, just on the spirit of what I've seen and done. Tourists enjoying social media.
Yeah.
So many people Instagramming. And the thing now, which I didn't realise, is to be staring into the middle distance while someone takes your photo. Like down in Queenstown on the waterfront, you would literally have like a line of people, all separate, all taking each photographs of them all going like...
But just, you know, staring, supplies, just but staring, like into the staring into the distance. Of
effort, but the amount of effort that people are putting into their photos to capture those and like editing and filters and all that sort of stuff now. They're spending a huge amount of time on it.
Right. That's interesting. You know, let me just, if you don't mind, let me just...
It's more posed now than just like, there it is, or no, me no, smiling.
Not a problem. Let me just regurgitate that to Jess, who sat just literally over there. So apparently, yeah, yeah. The latest thing to do is to take a photograph of me, if you can get your phone, but I'm just staring into the distance, thoughtfully. So if you, just for the podcast, if you can do that. So a little bit like this. I know I'm talking to you, but I'll wait till Jess does that. And I'm just going to...
That's the one.
There we go. Apparently that's it now. That's going to go up on Instagram.
Yeah, but then you'll do like 30 more. It's kind of what I've been... Yeah, some have just keep going and going. Yeah, they do. So the amount, it's just seeing the amount of effort people are putting into that. And I understand why. It's important to them and they're having a good time. That's how they want to record it. And I think it's great. But
I think it's interesting from that point of view. If you look, obviously you deal in social media completely. It's all about, you know, getting the brand out. And again, I'd be very interested to hear your thoughts about the podcast, because Simon Crisp from Edward Robertson, he was spot on with his brand and his imaging and things like that. What I find interesting is that my son James, as you know, he works over in Austria, went over there about 4 or 5 years ago. Before he went, absolutely zero interest in social media. He had a Facebook account, very rarely posted, wasn't interested whatsoever. I think it was fair to say that he was a retro geek, loved to sit in his room, play the old style retro games. But, you know, he won't mind me saying, grew up a little bit, went to Austria, which is a beautiful part of the world, learnt skiing, swims lakes, climbs mountains. Now he's an absolute Instagram nut, but all of his Instagram photos are of him doing real activities. And when he came over recently, he was saying to me, he went, I never thought that, you know, social media had that type of impact on me. But he said, I'm literally capturing my life now. And he said, sometimes I just spend an evening after being away for the weekend, hiking, skiing, and I'll sit there and just like flick through my photos and went, I had a great time.
Yeah, well, yesterday we were down probably the southernmost point of our trip yesterday, and it's like it's called Glenorchy. It's a little township type thing, and there was a pier at the end, and there was a mother and daughter doing a TikTok dance on the end of the pier. I was like, good for them.
Absolutely. Were they doing the floss, yeah, or is that the old dancing?
No, it was like a hand, like kind of like the playground hand clapping.
Oh, lovely. Thing.
Yeah, so they're doing that, and I was like, good for them. But yeah, I mean, that's how far reaching it is. And then I've heard people go, oh, this is the thing from TikTok. So they're, rather than say go to Google Maps and looking at Google reviews and this, that, and the other, they're using TikTok to find out the spots that they need to go to. They're using Instagram to look at the popular spots that, you know, where they want their photos, like, you know, going through each of the steps and finding out what they need to see. So when they're going, oh, this is the thing from TikTok, there's a prime example. You're a business on TikTok and you've got people talking about you on TikTok, you know, they're going to come to you.
No, absolutely.
There is a restaurant which is world famous for Queenstown called Ferg Burger. It is amazing, right? Safely say, it is amazing. Oh, yeah. I had one today before we flew out. But yeah, we've had 2 Ferg Burgers while we're down there. These guys are running their business. Originally, it was just Ferg Burger. They're making burgers, really good quality burgers, really good quality ingredients, nice, cooked there and then, bit of a wait, but like 15 minutes, and they get it done. That's how it started off back in the day.
Right.
They've then continued just making these good burgers and it's catching on. And when I was backpacking in Queenstown, you'd have peak queues at certain points where you'd have to queue. Now they have a queue out the door from opening to closing.
Oh my goodness.
To the point they had to widen the footpath because of the queue. No, I'm serious. Yeah. They had to take up parking spaces to allow place for people to walk past the bit outside the burger shop because they're doing it. And then they've set up. I'm getting eaten by mozzies here. This is quite the other problem. Then they've set up Ferg Baker, which is like a bakery, do pies and cakes and bread. And then they've got Mrs. Ferg, which is a cafe with gelato. And then they've got the Ferg Bar. And all of these four are in line together. And all that was born off is a really good burger.
Nice.
Purely and simply. Right? So, you know, then people post it on social media. People go, oh, we need to go to Ferg Bar. The queue is constantly full. It'd be full now.
Wow.
Honestly. From opening to closing, out, like, we're talking massive. About
that. You were saying about the, you know, the queues now. So it is currently 9:34 UK time. What time is it over now in New Zealand?
It's the same in the evening.
In the evening, so you're literally 12 hours, 12 hours behind.
Yeah, 12 hours. I learned the clocks changed this weekend in New Zealand.
Ah, so yes. You're still trying to skip that.
Yeah. So that's what it is. But there'll be a queue outside Ferg Burger right now. And there will be tomorrow.
Can you get me one? Bring me one back, please. You might have to vacuum seal it and you might have to put it in some kind of time warp device to protect it.
Yeah, yeah. But honestly, Ferg Burger, if you want a good example of a business that is, in its principle, a simple business model, as in, let's make a really good burger with good ingredients and it tastes great. And that's all they started from. The reputation is renowned. And basically, if you say to anyone that's been in Queenstown, normally it's Queenstown, have you had a Ferg Burger? It's usually how that goes. You know, because people have seen it on social media.
Excellent, excellent. Well, that's really good, my friend, really good. I'm just also conscious of the time. What's the time, running time now?
We've been having...
45 minutes. Okay, so we've got about another 10.
I am actually getting eaten alive.
Yeah, so I'm thinking that's...
leave this in, don't cut it out. I have literally been sat here. They're all coming under here now.
Yeah, exactly, because they've smelt the Ferg Burger on you and they want a piece of it.
I know. They really have. But yeah, so yeah, I'll probably cut it there.
No, honestly, it's been fantastic. So when do you actually land back in the UK?
Back in the UK Friday next week.
Friday next week, so I still need to find it. I'll still get another guest in. I've got loads of other people. I probably won't get you another beer. Well done. Oh, you're breaking up badly now.
There we go.
Oh, there we go.
My uncle just dropped that off.
Another thing. Oh, yeah. You're basically breaking up pretty badly now.
Right.
Back in Friday.
Back in the UK Friday and then back to work the week after. And then we'll be back on our normal schedule.
On our normal schedule. Okay, well, as I say, I'll get somebody lined up for next Friday. But looking forward to you. We're all missing you, mate, to be fair.
Yeah, well, I'm missing... Do you know what? I'm missing everybody. It's been an amazing trip of a lifetime. Really good fun. Really worthwhile, of course it is. It's been just great to do something a bit different.
Yeah.
Get out there. But also, think about what we do as a business, how we do it. And I must admit, I have been missing the podcast.
Oh, that's very kind of you to say so. This is when you'll come back on the following Friday and just go, that's it, HubSpot Media, I'm folding the business, I'm setting up a bookshop in New Zealand.
That's the model. If we listen to episode whatever it was.
Adam's Rare Bookshop, right next to Ferg Burger.
Exactly. Mate.
Exactly.
But enjoy.
Yes.
Your Friday. What are you doing this weekend?
What am I doing this weekend? More programming. You know, I've been working on this big thing that I'm doing to try and automate a lot of stuff for Resilient. Really getting my teeth really into Visual C Sharp now.
Yeah.
It's beginning to take shape. Nowhere near ready, but I'm getting the foundations, but I'm finding it. You know, that itch about scratching that I'm like, I want to get my teeth into this project.
Yeah, you would be saying itch and scratching when I've just been eating alive.
No, it's a very fair point. And then... And then over here on Game Pass, we've had Diablo 4's just been released. So been getting heavily into Diablo 4.
That. Brilliant.
Yeah. What about yourself then?
We are doing some sightseeing. So
Really?
Yeah, a bit of sightseeing. We've got a meal out tomorrow night. At a sake place, sake restaurant, sake bar.
Nice.
So I'm looking forward to that. That'll be fantastic. We're going into Auckland tomorrow. See the sights there. We're going to go up to Sky Tower, which is a cool place I've been before.
Yeah.
Get the kids up there. And then, there's plans for Sunday, but I can't remember what they are.
Play rugby.
Why not, eh?
Why not?
Yeah, it's been good. Oh, what I have been doing, actually, is saw one of my mates who will be coming on. I didn't manage to record something with him, but we're going to do it remotely when I'm back.
Yeah.
With you on, loves his Bitcoin, knows all about Bitcoin, and we're
going to
get
him
on and be a guest. And anyway, aside from that, he's also been doing sauna and cold plunging.
Ice baths.
And he was like, "Do you want to do it?" I was like, "Oh, okay." And we're into the spirit of it. But I was like, "Can I just do the sauna?" He's like, "No,
no."
Okay, so I'll do that. And it turns out I actually quite like it.
Oh, so from a beautiful hot sauna into freezing cold water.
Yeah, so then yesterday I jumped in one of the lakes in the South Island. I was in there, just ice bathing type thing.
Yeah.
It's like it was freezing. And then today I was in a river.
Oh, gosh.
Been doing a bit of that. Yeah, it's been good. Been enjoying it. So, I'll try and get down the coast here and jump in.
Listen, mate, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for taking time out of your holiday to join us on this week's podcast. Been really good to see you again, mate, and can't wait for you to get back.
Yeah, you take care, mate.
All right, mate. Cheers.
See you later.
Thank you. See you later. Okay, hopefully you enjoyed everybody. You're a guest speaker from New Zealand, so hopefully you all have a great weekend. See you later. Bye.